I guess just first off, when you look at this season, I mean, I know you had Ohio State 1, Iowa 2, Wisconsin 3. That's also what I had, and I feel a lot of media had that, given that that's how it went out. Would you say that, I mean, how would you, I guess, make that assessment as far as, like, being able to differentiate between 1, 2, and 3?
Well, Ohio State's done it. I mean, they've won 5 straight titles. They have very few glaring flaws on their team. I would even say something like Iowa's offensive line or even cornerback situation to me is more glaring. And I'm not saying that's a huge problem for Iowa, but when you look at Ohio State, there's not a unit on that team where you just think, oh, God, they really took some major losses and they're going to have a tough time. So that's the biggest thing. They just win. They win Big Ten games. They win road games. They win their big, tough games. It seems like every year in November. Jim Tressel has a phenomenal record, as does Kirk Ferentz for the most part in November. So I think that's why they're the obvious choice. With Wisconsin and Iowa, you're dealing with two different things. Iowa obviously won that game last year. They got further than Wisconsin. They have a lot coming back. Wisconsin probably has more individual stars than Iowa this year, but I think overall as a team, you know, just from the body of work last year and some of the key guys coming back, you have to give Iowa that edge.
And just kind of given the consensus with the 1, 2, and 3, would you say that it's kind of like a clear like separation between like Wisconsin being at 3 and then whoever would be at 4? Or would you say there's other teams that can maybe sneak their way up there?
Potentially. Right now, there's separation, for sure. There's definitely those top 3 teams, which some people might all have in their top 10, certainly their top 15s nationally. And then I think there's a drop-off because people don't know what to expect from Penn State. They lost 6 first-team All-Big Ten players, including Darrell Clark, Navarro Bowman, Sean Lee, those guys. What, you know, are they going to be okay at quarterback? Is their defense going to be able to handle the load, even though they lose guys like Jared Odrick and other standout players? So we don't know what to make of them. And then with the other teams, you know, do you really buy into Michigan State? People have made that mistake before where we've hyped them up in the beginning of the season. They certainly look dynamic on offense with their wide receiving core and Kirk Cousins back. Defensively, they have Greg Jones, the most accomplished defensive player in the Big Ten and arguably the best. But after that, they're just question marks. So I would say there is some separation there right now. We could see, you know, it could be different a month into the season.
And then just with Iowa in particular, how would you put last season in perspective for them? Because yes, they didn't win the Big Ten, Ohio State did, but the fact that they were still able to win 11 games, win a BCS bowl game or a major bowl game for the first time in over 50 years.
I mean, it was a phenomenal season for Iowa, very close to being a Big Ten championship season or maybe even an undefeated season. But as they would tell you, and Kirk says this all the time, they were a couple plays away from being a 4 or 5 loss team. So that's the margin for error at Iowa. They embrace that. Everything they do with their program is cognizant of the fact that they're not going to beat people by 30 points every week. So it's a good philosophy to have, and they clearly have that mental toughness now, which a lot of teams don't have, that when they're in a close game in the fourth quarter, they're going to win. And that's very valuable because that's you have to win your close games. Ohio State has that, and Iowa certainly had that last year, so I would call it a huge success.
Just with that mental toughness, how do you think that does carry over to this season? Because obviously that road slate that they had a year ago, now all those teams are coming to Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah, that's true. But I think one thing that Iowa would point out, and we should all remember, is they probably played better on the road last year. I mean, you think about it, you know, starting with the first game against Northern Iowa, you know, that could have been a loss. Arkansas State, they didn't play particularly well. They didn't play great against Michigan and won that game. At least early in that game, they struggled, and they struggled in the fourth quarter. So, you know, and then they could have lost to Indiana. They did lose to Northwestern. So in some ways, they need to maintain that toughness at home, that mental toughness. I don't think there's going to be a problem with that. But again, it's a passionate fan base. They live in a fishbowl in Iowa City. People are talking them up. So it's going to be tested. They're not the type of team that's going to say, oh, well, we have all these games at home, we're just going to be fine, because they know that's going to be tough.
Now, when you had your list of 25 players this summer, you had Adrian Claiborne at the top. Just what, I guess, makes him such a standout player?
You just notice him so much. You know, whether it's special teams or rushing the passer, you know, there's a lot of great, you know, statistically defensive players, but he's a guy who just makes plays in games, and he's a standout guy. You know, you think of the plays that defined Iowa last year. I think you have to start with his punt block against Penn State. It completely changed that game. And then, you know, he dominated games like the Orange Bowl. He was terrific against Ohio State. So he's just a guy you notice, and then that's how I really ultimately judge players, is who shows up every Saturday and really creates problems for the other team.
And then kind of switching gears towards the whole talk with expansion, what's your overall assessment having, like, been covering this from the very beginning and then, you know, just dealing all summer long with the whole talk with Nebraska joining the conference and just all these different things that they're talking about with divisions, championship game, and whatnot?
Well, yeah, I think it was a great expansion given the climate. I don't think the Big Ten wanted to expand this quickly. They did because of what was going on with the Pac-10 and the Big 12. But, you know, Nebraska, with their tradition, they really feel like a Big Ten program, just talking to being around their fans a little bit and hearing about them. So it's a great fit. You know, in every aspect, perhaps, maybe with, you know, recruiting being one of them, just because it's not the biggest state population-wise. But overall, given what happened and what could have happened, I think the Big Ten did pretty well. With divisions, you know, who knows? I'm in favor of geography being way down on the priority list. I really think it should be primarily competitive balance, and you keep the rivalries you can, but don't limit yourself completely by, you know, some rivalries that, even though they've been around for a while, you know, are they really that vital to your league? Because ultimately, the way that the climate is now in college sports is about selling your league. You want your major brands and the games that are going to move the needle out there as much as possible. And if it means sacrificing a rivalry that, you know, 95% of the country doesn't really care about, I would be more in favor of that because it would be better for my league.
And then just, I guess, my final question here, how do you foresee the future of the Big Ten now? They talk about wanting to have a championship game next year. Mm-hmm. They're talking about wanting to have 9 conference games, you know, within the next, like, 2 to 4 years, as Commissioner Delaney was saying yesterday.
Well, I think 9 conference games is going to happen, and that was something that I picked up on a while back, and it didn't seem like people were talking about that much, but that was the big news yesterday, that they are going to 9 conference games, and that will put coaches under some pressure. Certainly, scheduling-wise, it's going to be interesting to see what some of these teams do that need so many home games, but that's a big deal that they did that. You know, could there be further expansion? That's possible, but certainly now we're looking at divisions and a championship game beginning in 2011. You know, probably at a site to be determined quickly, and then they'll look more at the bigger picture with all the different venues competing. So it's an exciting time in the Big Ten. It's a great time to be a Big Ten fan, and it should be a very exciting next 3 to 5 years.
And actually, I do have one more follow-up that I just thought of. Would you talk about, like, a location for the championship game? Mm-hmm. Would you be in favor of, like, having it in a place like, say, Lucas Oil Stadium every year? Would you be okay with the idea of a rotation?
Well, again, it's one of these things that you don't know unless you try. And Big Ten fans are very used to outdoor football. It's what they love and what they're passionate about. Could I see it outdoors every year? Probably not. Could I see it indoors every year? Maybe. But I think it would be fun and interesting if they at least gave it a shot with a rotation. You know, maybe an outdoor venue and an indoor venue. Not, you know, 4 to 5, but maybe. Just pick 2 that you really like that fit the criteria you're looking for, and see how it goes. I mean, there's no harm in trying that. And then if the outdoors facility isn't working, I would certainly, for a permanent one site location, I would keep it indoors, either Lucas Oil Stadium or Ford Field in Detroit.